are listening to Omnus Protocol. I am Charles, also known as Omnus, and I am here with the legend, Jay, of Recalibration Matrix. Jay, would you say you're more of the Recalibration or the Matrix?
Let's go with Matrix.
I had a feeling. You're kind of a Neo fan, right?
I am. It's true, yeah.
More Neo or more Morpheus? Morpheus is in the Bald Guy Club.
Definitely Neo.
Okay.
Not that I have anything against Morpheus, but...
Okay. But I understand. Like, Neo's pretty cool. All right. Well, Jay, I'm so happy that you're able to hop on and talk this over with me. One thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately is kind of what is the most important, the most significant, the most key unaffiliated character for each of the different affiliations? What kind of like fills that key gap or pushes them over the top? I don't know. Is this something that you had thought that much about before I bugged you about the episode?
A little bit, maybe, but not a ton, just because honestly, I haven't been doing online games, and so I'm getting about a game a week, and most of that has been different stuff for prep for the podcast, and so I hadn't necessarily thought about it in that lens, but it'll be an interesting discussion.
For sure. And I think one of the interesting things about playing games for the podcasters is it really does force us out of that kind of affiliation bias glasses, right? I feel like more and more I notice when I'm talking to people, I'm like, you play Wakanda a lot, don't you? Because the way you're talking is like is like through Black Panther glasses. And I feel like even though we're not, it's not like in, say, War Machine or something, we're like, this is my faction. But people still, like, they at some point they connect to an affiliation, like the first time they got that roster working. And sure, yeah. I think it's important to see, like, what these different characters do for each of the affiliations. And it's not, you know, it's not Shuri all the time, right? Well, I guess it could be. All right. Well, why don't we do Avengers first? Who jumps out at you as, like, the key Avenger that's not an Avenger? Because, I mean, if there was one affiliation that might not run an affiliated character, it might be Avengers, because Avengers Assemble is pretty good. But I was really curious, what is your pick for Avengers as
so,
most?
Yeah, this one was a little bit difficult. There's a lot of characters that want to be Avengers and want to take advantage of that leadership. But the that's not the question.
Which is like almost every, like more than half the characters are like, man, when I'm an Avenger, I feel really good. But Avengers don't necessarily want every one of those characters. Like,
right.
Gamora is a cool Avenger, but I'm not sure that's what they want.
The one that I ended up going with was Ronan.
Okay. Okay.
I did feel like it was pretty essential to have a reactive ability that was going to be done fairly commonly.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And Judgment obviously falls in that category. I mean, I guess alternatively it might not fall in that category if your opponent isn't attacking your models, but that seems okay as well.
Yeah.
Most likely.
I think if Ronan never has an opportunity to use Judgment, that's probably just fine.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of my thought. He's obviously just an all around good character anyway. So that was, I'll admit though that, like Red Skull and Captain America, those Avengers and Cabal were two of the ones that I had the hardest time deciding which ones I wanted to pick.
This would be, I wouldn't say this one was a hard one for me to pick, but it was a hard one for me to predict what you would pick, because I really think you could go so many different directions with it. And as I said, I mean, Avengers is one that might just run a whole Avengers team, because Avengers Assemble really, really strong.
Right.
But I think Ronan is a perfectly valid answer. I think as we're going through this, I think Ronan could be the answer for any of these. Sure, and I'm not sure I would argue with it. My pick, though, is Loki. And this probably won't surprise any of my listeners, because I think I've been kind of swearing by him as an Avenger. Like,
sure, yeah.
Not only is I Am a God a great, like, reactive ability, so, like, he likes being an Avenger, but I think the Avengers also like having him, because his ability to like mess with the math, because Avengers already have this great math economy for their powers. When you worsen that for your opponent too, it kind of plays into their power balance. So I think Loki is one that I think is going to be really key for Avengers to like be playing at the top level. I mean, could be wrong. I'm not the best Avengers player, but I feel like Loki's a boss for Cap Squad.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really solid choice.
And I mean, when he can have the Mind Stone, that's good too. But I know figuring out gems and rosters is a whole different topic that I'm not ready to dive into yet. But yeah, I think Loki and Ronan, both fantastic Avengers. I think either answer is probably good there. I'm kind of hoping that one of these, I just hardcore disagree with you. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but it would be fun. What's your pick?
I'm guessing we won't.
Yeah. we have a similar play style at times, but all right. So you said Cabal was also a little challenging for you.
Yeah. So Cabal, I kind of came down to debating between two characters. The first one was Venom, and doing kind of like a Ultron Venom drop off package.
Yep, I can see that.
The other one I was debating was Shuri, with Panther Gauntlets and the leadership gaining a bunch of power, and then her being able to do head of Wakandan R&D.
Yep.
The upgrades is the one that lets you reroll. I ended up between those two, I ended up picking Shuri, but I did have a little bit of a debate between the two of them.
Well, it's an interesting one, because I get to both like agree with you and disagree with you at the same time, because my pick is Venom, but I actually don't find Shuri makes that many of my Cabal teams. Because, I mean, MODOK is such a big pull for them, right? And you already got natural rerolls. And so I feel like a lot of the time while Shuri can feel really powerful, I feel like a lot of time their strength is like that double barrel strategy, and you kind of just need both sides stacked. And I feel like Shuri sometimes just doesn't quite fit that right. And so I could see Shuri taking or leaving, but Venom I really like for what he brings to them, because he brings someone who's totally happy to get right up into the mix. He the denying rerolls, like the defensive rerolls and defensive modifications, is really good, and it gives them it still gives you a character that can yank people around. So I can see why you're debating Venom.
The ironic thing is that the character that that I would most likely take the most in Cabal is neither of those two.
Well, what's your pick then? Now I'm curious.
I would probably go the Hela strategy.
Oh, and okay.
Kind of the build that has like Red Skull, MODOK, Killmonger, and Hela is.
you just want to like take down characters, right? You're just like you want to put the notches on your belt, right? I think if it were me, I would probably be saying Ronan, because I settled on Venom. But okay, well, I think that's enough. Those are the two core right out of the box affiliations. And I think all of the answers are potentially reasonable. I don't know about that Hela one though. That's just scary. But well, let's go on to Wakanda.
This one we're obviously going to have the same answer, right?
Okay, are we? Maybe. I might have to change mine just to shake things up. What's your pick?
Valkyrie.
Yeah. Valkyrie was what I have written down for sure.
Okay. I mean, there's on a lot of these there's not like necessarily one clear answer, but there kind of is on this one.
Yeah. So what was your reasoning? Why did you feel Valkyrie was the number one go-to for Wakanda?
It just feels like she, obviously she's just an amazing three-point character, but she also plays really well into the game plan that a lot of the Wakandalists are wanting to do right now.
Yeah, that's just bringing a character that when you have a team that's very push-focused, and then you bring in a character that also just has a really valuable throw, that's essential. But I think Valkyrie might be the most essential character for just rosters kind of across the board. Right. Like if I build a team for Meteors, for Deadly Meteors, it has Valkyrie in it. Like, the odds of me making a team for that Crisis that does not have Valkyrie is pretty low, because just her budget, like, she's so worthwhile at that three threat and having two power, so she can either throw someone off or she can interact with an extract and interact with the secure. She's good.
There's also just a lot of times where a 3-point character being able to be an Asgardian and have two power at the start of every turn can make a really big deal with what your plans are going to be.
Well, and when you think about it, you look at every other character at three threat that has a throw, it costs three. Like,
right.
Why does hers cost two and she's the only one that generates two? Like, she would probably still be amazing if her throw cost three.
Yeah, you are correct.
Yeah. So I will also, I mean, I guess this is, the problem is that I have like, kind of like, I tried to separate all of my answers. So I was giving a different character for each of these affiliations. But I will say, kind of hitting back to the Loki one, just so we're talking about something besides just Valkyrie. I've actually found, as I was like toying around with some different counter builds to Wakanda, whereas at first I was kind of like, okay, maybe that fifth character is Thor. But then there were just some situations where I wasn't liking how the team was going. And then sometimes I was thinking about the mirror match. And Loki plus the Mind Gem, I think, also slots in really well for them, where you're toning down what your opponent can do, kind of inhibiting them a bit to keep those key characters like Shuri and Black Panther going. And it's a really hard character for Killmonger to take down. So when your roster can work in Loki, I think that's something that I would also consider a lot for fixing the matchups where Wakanda can struggle. But I think there's probably listeners right now that are really upset that neither of us said Vision. I know, there's a few people that are huge Vision fans in Wakanda.
Okay.
But probably also a reasonable answer. Okay, so I think that covers Wakanda. Why do you feel about Asgardians?
Asgardians.
Asgardians.
So,
who's your pick there?
This one, I there's a little bit of like fluff that's going into this, and just he might be my favorite character that's released so far, and so I want to get him in here somewhere. But okay, he also does bring something that I think is valuable to Asgard, and so the one that I went with is Rocket Raccoon.
Okay. So, I will totally admit this was not what I expected. But
yes. So one of the reasons why I like him is that in general with Asgard, you're going to have a bunch of fairly high point costed characters. And so having someone A, who's cheap, and B, who can be standing back and be giving a pretty good ranged threat from standing back complements something that helps out this faction, I feel like. And so he's a character that I like quite a bit with Asgardians, and he's also just awesome. So
yeah, I mean, Rocket is a solid character, and I think it's getting harder every time a two threat character comes out. It's like, ooh, I think this character, like this two threat, is going to kind of displace these other two threats. And I feel like my opinion of which one is best is like constantly in flux.
Right. Yeah.
But you inspired me a little bit on this one, so I'm going to say the one that I had written down, which was Ronan.
Okay.
But I'm not sure I actually still agree with that after thinking about it during this discussion. I had Ronan down because I like Asgardian, one, doing really aggressive plays to go after other people's extracts, and Ronan is another character that can do that. Mm. And his ability to like counter-strike and dissuade people from attacking, it helps because naturally the Asgardians have Odin's blessing, and so it already kind of discourages people from attacking them. And when you have your unaffiliated character being like on that same level of like, I don't really want to attack anybody, I feel like that rounds them out very well. And his suite of powers is, I mean, we've already said Ronan's great for anyone, right? You could probably answer any of these affiliations with the answer being Ronan, but he's also really good on Meteors, which I think is a great Great Crisis for them. But after you said Rocket, it made me realize that the most common unaffiliated character that I play in Asgard is actually a Koye.
Okay, I can see that, yeah.
And that when you, because you were talking about Rocket, I'm like, well, yeah, they don't have a two threat character. You're probably always going to have at least one two threat character in your roster. And it realized that's just how many teams that I end up putting Okoye in just because of like, oh, I want that fifth character. I like her additional defensive tech. She's the only two threat character that has three energy defense that can also interact with meteors, because Nebula can't, unfortunately.
Right, yeah.
Maybe not unfortunately, probably for the best. But I'd play Okoye with them a lot. Even if I didn't run Shuri or Black Panther as options in my Asgard team, I think Okoye would stay in. She would probably be the last to leave the roster if I was really trying to make room. Mm. She has been amazing me time and time again. And my last game against Xavier Protocols, I even had a time where she just like one shot Nebula because of Death's Decree. Having an 8 dice Okoye strike with rerolls. And she is surprisingly tanky.
Yeah. But
I think the moral of that story is I think you're probably figuring out your favorite two threat character. And that might be the most important one for Asgard. But you're a little bit more aggressive than me, Jay, so maybe that's why Rocket is your jam.
That could be. It's also like I love my Trash Panda, so you know.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Is Rocket your favorite Guardian just in general?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But that doesn't surprise me either. I know, isn't Guardians 1, like Guardians 1 the movie, like one of your top 5 favorite Marvel movies?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, on the subject of Guardians, who is your favorite unaffiliated for Guardians to drag in?
Okay, so this was one where, again, I really only felt like there were two affiliations where there was kind of like a clear, correct answer. And this is the second one that I thought that was the case.
Oh, this one is a clear answer.
Okay. I think so. I'm curious if you will agree. But and again, this is probably also a little bit colored by me being letting my inner fluff bunny show out. But
okay.
You just need to be playing the Asgardians of the Galaxy. I don't know what else to tell you.
This answer does not surprise me at all. So by Asgardians, you mean Hela?
No. I mean Thor.
Okay, so why, for the listeners, why do you think Thor is the go-to for Guardians?
One of the things that I like about him is that it's kind of the inverse of what I said with Rocket, where with Rocket, you're looking for like kind of a more expensive one that is shoring up some of the weaknesses. And it's the same way here, except you're potentially looking for someone who's maybe a little bit more expensive. You can build a really cheap core of a Guardians list with very little threat level. Yes. And slotting in someone like Thor, who works well as with their leadership and with just the affiliation in general. I think that he complements the faction affiliation really well, in my opinion.
And I don't think anyone's going to disagree with you on that. It's kind of like what we were talking about with Avengers, where there's lots of characters who wish they were Avengers.
Right.
And there's lots of characters that Guardians can take, but Thor does kind of fit both directions, where he desperately likes having access to rerolls. Right. Like, that's the one thing. Like, when Thor has rerolls, that's where he really shines. Because I have had a great number of times where I've gone for a 4 Asgard and done no damage.
Right.
That's
the saddest Thor.
Yeah. And it happens a lot. When people are like,
right,
dude, I always get a wild and throw them, and I always deal damage on 4 Asgard. I'm like, you and I are playing a different game. Because I swear, how often I end up with Black Panther in front of Thor gets a little painful. And how many times I fail to damage that stupid kitty. But he also, as you said, with his higher threat cost, he fits in really nicely where sometimes they need to hit certain totals and they need someone a little bit more durable. They like having some characters that get in the middle because Star-Lord and Rocket are both just like excellent gunners.
Right.
And two of the easiest characters for you to start with. And Thor is a really natural fit from there. So he was obviously one that I was heavily considering as well. Because, sure. I think you could run MODOK in that spot, and there's justification to do either and go, well, MODOK doesn't need the rerolls, so it allows you to use winging it on Star-Lord or Rocket.
Right.
But it does kind of like leave you on like super gun platform, which maybe that's your thing.
It kind of leaves you like, okay, who's going to be your scenario presence? Yeah,
like, I can fit in Ronan and Drax, right? Like, where's the math? One that I was heavily considering, and this has been, it's actually been a character that I've been liking more and more and been comparing to Thor, but it's harder for him to slot in. And the reason for that is that Corvus, I don't like. Corvus with the reality gem, I like a lot. And so I think Corvus with the reality gem kind of fits into a similar slot. Downside being, he doesn't have the throw. And that throw is godly, pun intended. But I think Corvus with the reality gem is actually a bit more survivable than Thor. Mm-hmm. And his damage output is like a little bit higher. And the additional ability for like him to interact with deadly meteors, like his odds of flipping it are about the same as Thor's. But he has even less chance of taking damage from it because it's so rare for him to actually have a skull. And so I think Corvus was one where I was like, I think he's really worth considering in Guardians. But the question is I would probably only fit him in if you could fit in the reality gem. Because, man, that is a great one threat. Have you tried Corvus in Guardians?
No, I actually just got Corvus returned to me
from your painter
this week. Yeah, so
nice. Have you posted any pictures of that?
No, I'm gonna be doing that soon.
Okay, excellent.
I'm getting Thanos as well at the like the end of this week, and so
nice. So you're gonna do a picture like the whole Black Order.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that segues us beautifully into the final affiliation for this episode, Black Order. Who is your pick for Black Order's numero uno unaffiliated?
I feel this was a little bit difficult because honestly, it feels like Black Order list building is kind of so up in the air right now.
I would 100% agree with that part for sure. I still don't. I want to test them a bunch so that I can eventually do a Black Order episode. But if you ask me right now to build a Black Order roster, I don't know. I don't know.
So the one I ended up going with, is Iron Man.
Okay.
And the reason why I did that, there's a few reasons. The first one is that, I think that there's some value in having a character who's that can stand back on some of the, farther back secures, if need be, and be able to blast away out of them and be durable while doing that. And also in general, I think that the Black Order tends to benefit from, and I guess this is under the assumption that Thanos is going to be in this Black Order list.
Okay.
Like cheap characters a bunch of different options where he can be adding dice to, I think is something that is also something that's beneficial.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're naturally kind of throwing in, let's have another invulnerable character in an already like hard to take down affiliation. So you kind of leave no weaknesses is kind of the idea there.
Right.
I also like when you have a character that already wants to use their strike, their builder attack, and wants to then like generate power so they can use Friday AI to like enhance it and do even more. he is one of the top characters in my mind. If you're just like characters that Death Decree is fantastic with, like Iron Man is pretty high on that list, right? Like,
right.
I do like, I mean, if he had a reroll mechanic, he would probably be number one. But I do look at characters like Captain Marvel and Black Panther and Zemo that have a natural reroll built in, and I'm like, oh man, anyone who can reroll all their dice. But with Iron Man also being three threat, that does seem like a natural fit. Out of curiosity, did you have any idea what I was going to pick? Like, did you walk in this like Charles is probably going to pick X?
No, I didn't, because I was like, my day's been so slammed that I basically made this just barely before re-recorded. So, I'm not sure. What were you thinking?
Well, so I will be honest, like, this was probably the one that's easiest for me, and maybe that's delusional and I haven't played them enough. And so this is me thinking I know the answer when I don't actually.
Okay.
But for me, this was the one where if I were building Black Order rosters right now, they would all start with the Black Order characters I want to play and then Shuri, because there is not enough reroll mechanics just in general in Black Order. And sure, they're all so good, but they kind of need that level of consistency. And I found, especially say like Thanos, right? Like he's got such solid base defenses. And when you start giving him rerolls on top of it, it just feels like you're just doing nothing to him and he's doing so much. And like Corvus and Proxima, they are great damage output characters, but as soon as they like flub and they're just like, well, that didn't go well, things spiral out of control really quickly, because you were like dedicating a double activation to pulling it off. And so for me, and maybe it's just my desire for consistency as opposed to just the like, let's go on this crazy assassination run and see what happens. I think Shuri kind of just like, kind of just fills out the math. She kind of fills a similar role to what you were talking about with Iron Man, where she can kind of like hang back on a, on formula or something. And she kind of takes a more defensible position and is using the long range attacks, which you don't have much of that in Black Order. But I just think her ability to like crank up the survivability and crank up the offensive consistency of Thanos or Corvus or Proxima, are all great. And I also like that if she's on a side with Black Dwarf and like Black Dwarf is getting up in the mix, they can't usually just shoot past him to get to her, because he'll be like, no, you're attacking me, and then she's gonna give me rerolls. That's how this works.
So I have a little bit of a confession to make.
Okay.
this past week has been quite busy or hectic, and then the week before that was struggling quite a bit with like anxiety and depression, and life so
hitting you.
And Greg, we wanted to do Thanos coming up in our next episode, and so like I messaged Pagani and I was like, hey, I'm only going to get like a game or two in before we do this podcast. What do you like with him? And he sent me over his roster that he plays, that he's been doing with Thanos. And the thing that's, and I think that this is kind of the reason why I brought this up is because I think it's kind of an interesting testament of like how we're kind of all over the place on Black Order rosters right now.
Yes, for sure.
But he doesn't even have Shuri in his roster.
You're just trying to like make me look bad to all of my listeners and like, ha, Pagani says he's wrong.
No, I'm basically saying like, so spoiler alert, Iron Man was on his list, and that was one of the reasons why, like, he gave me like a kind of an explanation of why he liked different characters on there. And what I just said was basically what he said, what he liked about Iron Man. And so,
I mean, I've said the same thing about Iron Man. Like, he's been on my short list of characters that just feels real good with Death Decree. Like, Avengers rosters with Thanos, and like, ooh, like Iron Man is one of those like high up there on the list of characters that I want to play with Thanos. So
I'll also say though that I really do. I think you're the theory that you've given behind Shuri is really solid, and that it does seem like she would do a lot to like kind of smooth out the variability of the list.
Right, and I just think if someone's liking the style of Black Order and they want to do those like really explosive, cool things with like Proxima and Corvus, and then when Thanos wants to do just like his cosmic portal Mind Stone business, like Shuri plays into that strategy too, right? If you're like, well, if you just want to control the board, Thanos, I'm on board. Let's do this. So, but it'll be interesting to see in the long run, because obviously Black Order is probably our most speculative of all of them. I mean, I doubt you and I have as many games of Black Order as we do with any of the other affiliations.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, I think this gives a cool baseline for listeners. And I think there's a lot of new people coming into the game as a couple of game stores are opening up. Mind you, carefully, still strongly encouraging to be careful, because I would like all of you to live through this. And this is scary. And I don't want anyone to have like heart conditions and lung conditions because they went and played a board game. But people are starting to play. They're starting to pick up the models. They're starting to experiment. And I think this can be kind of a cool, like kind of a baseline. If you're starting to build, like what helps round out your favorite affiliation to like make them feel complete. And I think any of the answers given here are probably a perfectly reasonable starting place for people. Except maybe Iron Man. Cause you know, that Pagani guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Exactly. Exactly.
But Jay, I'm so happy you were able to hop on and
yeah, thank you.
Do this episode with me. You were my first guest host on this one, and now this is episode 30. That's a long time to wait, but you're kind of hitting those key numbers with me.
Well, there you go.
But you were supposed to be on our challenge episode where we were betting beers on everything, and so we may have to drag you in for something like that on the YouTube channel.
That'd be fun.
But obviously stay safe. And for the listeners, if there's like one or two of my listeners that don't already listen to Recalibration Matrix, what would you say to them to like hop over and check out all that is the gloriousness of Jay and the friendly neighborhood, Greg Webster?
I mean, I would just say that one of the, our podcast is kind of split up into halves, where one part we're talking about we focus on a character, and then one half we talk about them in Crisis Protocol. The other half we do a comic book club, and that focuses on that character. And then Greg's a huge comic nerd, and you know, I came into
galactic level.
Yes, yes. And I came into this having read a few comics, but mostly just watched the movies. And so there's like this vast ocean of comics out there, and all the comics we read are on Marvel Unlimited. And Greg has done a great job, like making recommendations, or, you know, it makes it so that this, you know, in a lot of ways, comics can feel really inaccessible because there's just so many of them.
Oh yeah.
It helps you be able to like kind of curate an experience where you can feel comfortable reading some awesome stuff about the people we're playing with.
For sure. So if you were to recommend a first episode, like if someone was just going to like hop in and you're like, if you listen to episode blank, you will get hooked on Recalibration Matrix. I mean, obviously outside of the Star-Lord episode, because you guys had a wonderful guest on that one. So
obviously,
obviously not that one, but any other episode, what would you say? Like, listen to this one. This is probably the best one that Greg and I have done.
You know, it kind of pains me to say this, and this might be recency bias, but I would maybe say to check out the Hawkeye episode. So
the Hawkeye episode. Okay.
Yeah. So and part of the reason why I say that is because, like in particular, I would say that the Hawkeye arc that Greg picked was, one of the favorite arcs that I've read. Okay. So far out of all the ones we've done. And so that was quite a bit of fun.
I can see that. That is not an episode I've had a chance to listen to yet. So now I'm excited about listening to it. If I had to pick one and said like, you guys should hop out and listen to a Recalibration Matrix, I really liked your, Black Panther episode. Especially to talk about that particular comic book that sounded really exciting. So
yeah, it was, that was also a really good arc, and it's by an author that is, like, not just a comic book author. He's just a super well regarded author in general. So
yeah, the man. All right. Well, Jay, again, thank you so much for coming on. Listeners, I hope you check out Recalibration Matrix. And Jay and I do have a special Patreon episode for all the Patreon subscribers. I love you guys so much. So check that out if you're supporting on Patreon, and we'll have a little extra for you. But until next time, remember, just message Pagani and he'll tell you what to put in your list or in your answer. And that is the most OP thing that you can do.
Yes.